Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sons of a Gun, a podcast about the DC Universe. I'm Alex Gunn.
I'm Justin Gunn.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about episode 3 of Creature Commandos. Cheers to the Tin Man.
Cheers to the Tin Man.
Cheers to the Tin Man. If you haven't watched it yet on Max, go watch it because we're going to spoil it. But broad overview of this episode is that the Commandos head to what is assumedly Castle Frankenstein, though they seem to be very purposefully not saying that, to rescue the bride and Nina Mazursky. However, it is a trap from Cersei, who has taken her soft boys to attack.
Do we have to say it that way?
Do
we?
I don't like it. It shouldn't be Cersei. That's not how you pronounce the thing. It's Cersei. Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go, she is attacking, she wants to kill Princess Alana. The commandos realize that, head back, and ultimately take her down, with a big revelation at the end of the episode, that at least from Cersei's perspective, they have doomed the world. Meanwhile, the flashback this episode is the history of G.I. Robot, or at least most of it from World War II on. We get to see how he originally loved killing Nazis and then how he didn't get to kill Nazis. And then he gets to kill some more Nazis. And then by the end of the episode, he kills even more Nazis and then dies, R.I.P. G.I. Robot. Oh, so there you go. That's the episode. Why don't we start off? This is a broad topic.
There's a lot. More
there's a lot to get into, but I just kind of want to like set this up here in terms of the show. Do you think Nazis are good or bad? Pete, you want to take this one?
Well, first off, I'll answer in a second. I also have a question.
Oh, really? Delaying your answer. Interesting.
He's still thinking. The jury's still out.
Exactly. You just cornered me with this question here. Let me ask you something.
Yeah, get off the top of the dome.
Is it weird how much I had fun knowing, like, he was having, it was almost sweet to see him get to kill Nazis again. It was like this thing that I was like, oh, he's in his happy place. He finally gets to kill Nazis again.
I think that's the point of the episode. So, yes, you correctly watched the episode.
Did. Great. And it really hit with you. It was a simple want, kill Nazis.
Killed.
Taken it's, away. Sad.
It was nice. He's like, to see him get to do his thing again, it was, I was just like, oh my God,
a lot
feels
like
so
the cats
weird.
Featured in this episode, it's like catnip, take away catnip, bring back catnip, happy cat. Yeah. And that's who you are, Pete, you're a happy cat.
More seriously, I feel like I can speak for all of us and say we are anti-Nazi, but
yes,
as
we
usually do after the first drop of episodes, I know there were some mixed reactions to the first two, mixed positive, I would say. How do we feel going into episode 3? Are we on upswing, downswing, middle swing?
I'm having a blast with this show. I love it.
It's very middle. It's a middle episode. It's getting into one character. I sort of oversimplified it, but it's a very clean plot structure here. And not a lot of stuff happens besides seeing people's heads explode, which we get to see, I don't know, like 70 of that, which was a lot.
That is a lot. So you answered your own question. A lot did happen this episode. Also, the friendship between Nina and G.I. Robot deepened. You know, that was a nice moment.
And ended.
Yeah. Do you think friendship or flirtation? Because I was getting some vibes off of that.
Really?
Yeah, I was. Vibes? Getting any vibes?
Getting a lot of vibes from G.I. Robot's side of things.
Thank you, Justin.
Are you saying...
No. I think Nina seemed interested, is what I was getting.
Well, I was my take on the sort of the last moment was that in a episode of pure destruction, Nina's the only one who's not hardened by the world. Yeah. And so she's going to any tender moment, which I think is the connection she had for G.I. Robot. And I thought that was very sweet. And they've done a really good job with the Nina character, sort of showing her as like she doesn't belong here in every way possible. She doesn't breathe air. And so she's like stuck in a bathtub and she's at, you know, stuck in a bathtub metaphorically, I think, with everyone here being absolute killers on both sides.
So does that raise some questions then about what she is doing there? Why Amanda Waller has put her on this mission? Because that's certainly a question I've had since the beginning. It's like, you know, we know most of these people are unrepentant. She's a monster, but we don't know why she's in jail. She doesn't seem to want to hurt anybody ever.
I have two responses to that. Yes, she's a monster, but I think the point is she looks the most quote-unquote monstrous, but I think she's the most human underneath all of it that we'll find on the episode. And I think the point of her in the show is that she isn't supposed to be there. I think the show is telling us that, and her purpose will become extremely important later on, perhaps using her very empathetic human
quality. I agree with absolutely everything you just said there. I am just saying from the perspective of Amanda Waller, a character who plans intricately, why is Nina Brzezinski there?
Maybe it's training for her to kind of toughen her up for other plans that she has for her.
Okay, like, sure.
You
know?
Well, you're also sort of assuming that Amanda Waller is doing evil here, right? Like she's up
she
to
normally
something.
Does.
She's always up to something. She's got plans on plans.
What she might be up to here is creating a balanced team. And I think she, even from a quote-unquote evil perspective, there's still a tactical reason to have a character that is different and perhaps able to have a heart on a team.
Yeah.
Team together. So
smart.
Like,
yeah.
So her intricate plan is being a really good leader.
Well, I mean,
I understand.
I appreciate what you're saying, and you're basing on every corporate experience where the guy in charge always has the best interests of the company. I'm basing it on the comics, Amanda Waller, where I just feel like she usually doesn't have everybody's best interest at heart. I don't know.
Yeah, but she has her interests. So she has goals for this mission and this team, right? And to put the best team together, you can't just throw all psychos. There has to be the human person who's like, hey, maybe we shouldn't. You got to have like the A team. You got to have the madman. You got to have the muscle. You got to have the smart person. She's smart enough to know that.
Just to take your terminology, Pete, how does that apply to this podcast? Just to take what you said. Are we all psychos? Or
Oops, all psychos.
We had a mix-up at the podcast factory.
Yeah.
Oops, does that make me the muscle? Am I the muscle here, Peter?
No.
What's the deal? No?
No. All psychos.
Oops, all psychos.
All right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's nice because we get to see the kind of team in action a little bit. You know, when they kind of come to save the, you know, try to save the princess here, you get to see them in action. We haven't seen that before. I liked the forward momentum of that. I liked all the kind of hilarious entrance there where the guy with grenade, they blow him up and his foot, his flying severed foot kicks a bad guy in the face. I mean, that's fun, right? That's Laugh City, right?
Issue is far too strong a word because I really like this episode and I really like the G.I. Robot backstory in particular. I also liked how it connected with what's happening to him in the present, even though he doesn't have much of an emotional arc or much expression coming out of the face. I think Sean Gunn, who's doing the voice in particular, does a really good job of getting emotion across in an emotionless character, which we're talking about. Little bit of level of concern right now is, and maybe this is what you're getting at, Justin, is the amount of plot in the present day, which is they go to one castle or like, oops, and then go to another castle. And that's pretty much it. And it also seems like they've wrapped things up pretty nicely for the most part at the end of this episode, which I was very surprised about.
Well, I hear you on that. And I think what they're doing is they're like, they don't want to overstuff these episodes. Something that I know I have personally complained about with almost every comic book property, television or movie, where it's like, why are they doing so much? And I think they very smartly are like, a lot of the episode is going to be explaining G.I. Robot. So why would we have nine things happen also in the present tense? So I think what they're going to do is, you know, we have these sort of bundles of episodes exploring the backstory. And then I think we're going to get into a big, sort of getting narrative drops along the way. We're going to do a big climax that is very plot heavy, paying off all these emotional setups we're doing as we get to know each character.
Well, all right, just to jump to another conversational topic again, then something I was also very surprised about this episode is the amount of new stuff we're having jammed into the DCU here all at once. Like, I thought we were going to be very light with, we're meeting Creature Commandos, characters that, frankly, most DC comic fans, most comic fans have no idea about. Like, they know who Frankenstein is, but I'm constantly surprised whenever Frankenstein shows up in DC comics and Marvel comics. I'm like, oh, right, I guess they made him a character. Okay. But we're getting right at the top of the episode. We get Sergeant Rock and Easy Company show up, which was pretty wild.
Yeah, I agree. It was cool. And they did a great job being like just showing them and giving them all their character little visual attributes without making it a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also like playing to the intelligence. One thing you said two comments ago, Zelbatron, they want to comment about is the acting on this. The casting's amazing. The voiceover work is really impressive. And we get the big Rook in this one in the flashbacks, which was great. I think it's nice to see Gunn kind of pulling in his favorites.
You're talking about Michael Brooker, just to be clear. Okay.
Yeah, the Rook. I mean,
nobody calls
playing
that.
Sam.
No,
you know,
no one calls him that.
I really thought you were talking about a bird of some sort or a chess piece.
Huh. But.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, it was great to kind of see him in this episode. And it just kind of speaks to the fact of like they can really get anybody for these shows, which is really great. And they're killing it.
Well, one thing I want to say, too, jumping back, like it's amazing to me how the actors of this show are put front and center. Like they're keeping this credit sequence that is just about showing the Hollywood talent on the show. Like they don't need to reintroduce the actors each episode, and yet they're doing that. Also keeping the show to 22 minutes. I'm like, is this going to air on television? Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
But that's okay. I would rather stick to a strict actual TV structure and give them the challenge there to really jam in all of the story if they can. I did want to ask you a question about the voice casting, specifically about Sergeant Rock, because the actor who does the voice here is a guy named Maury Sterling, who I don't remember where he's from, but he's done a bunch of things. The thing that I was kind of interested about here is we have heard since the beginning of the DCU that it's all going to be consistent. Once an actor is cast, they're going to play that role going forward in absolutely everything. While this hasn't been, I think, officially greenlit or anything, there's apparently been some talk about Daniel Craig playing Sergeant Rock in a Sergeant Rock movie directed by, what's his name, Luca Guadagnino. Like reported in the trades. This is not Scoopers reporting it or anything like that. So I guess they could do it as an Elseworlds versus DC or something like that. But it seems surprising to me to have Sergeant Rock here in the third episode of a DCU anything, and then we've already heard about somebody else is going to play Sergeant Rock. Does that throw you guys at all or don't care?
That does not throw me because like it would be going either way would be weird. Being like, let's get Daniel Craig to do four lines in this episode three of this show. That's strange. He probably wouldn't want to do that.
That'd be sick, dude. Come on.
Yeah, but he's not like, yes, that doesn't make sense for him to do. And unless it's partnered with the launch of his actual movie. On the other side, to make this character someone else, like a random soldier and Easy Company, a random company, like that's a loss there. Why not just make it? And then I think they made the right, they threaded the needle and did both.
What's weird about your example is Daniel Craig was rumored to put on a stormtrooper outfit and be a background character in a Star Wars movie. So if Daniel Craig, if someone called Daniel Craig was like, yo, do you want to do four lines and just kill it? He might say yes, man.
Mm-hmm. Is that a rumor you started, Pete?
No, he was in it, right? Wasn't he actually in it? Yeah, I believe so. Was it Force Awakens or no? It was Last Jedi. I want to say Last Jedi.
I don't think those movies are real anymore. Can I make that statement? Yeah. Those movies didn't happen, or, wow, or maybe they're going to happen, but I don't think they.
There's rumors. Yeah.
It's
Pete and I call each other all the time and like, could you imagine if there was a sequel trilogy to Star Wars?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
It's a cool idea. Yeah. And honestly, the way how good Star Wars is, there's no way they could do it wrong. I believe.
I would love to someday see some TV series all about Star Wars. I think that would be fun.
But where could they go? They can't just keep doing Star Wars stuff. Is there like, what if they, maybe they should do something crazy like go to suburbia?
I think we should do Ewok specials. You know what I mean? Just like different kinds of Ewok specials.
See, now there's Pete with an actual thing he wants to hear.
Courage.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Mm. Great.
All right. Well, instead of having a nerd off, let's talk about the show. I think it was a fun kind of ride down memory, you know, with G.I. Robot. And I think it was nice to, because it was just such a weird thing they set up for him. Like, this guy loves killing Nazis. Okay, that's kind of silly and dumb. But the fact of by the end, I was like,
now it comes out. Took like 15 minutes of the podcast, but we see where Pete falls on killing Nazis. You think it's silly and dumb.
Wow. My grandfathers are crying in their graves, Pete.
How dare you, sir? I'm just saying,
I'm Jewish, the end of it, you're man. Like, I don't like this at all.
Okay, cool. I'm sorry or congrats? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's great to say both, and we'll just edit out whichever one sounds weird. Good job. Way to cover your ass, Pete. Well, I have a question. What do you think when they were programming G.I. Robot? How did they launch the feature where he looks at a soldier and a little Nazi swastika pops up over their bodies? Just from a programming perspective, that feels hard to orchestrate.
Sure, but they're wearing insignias, right? Like they're wearing swastikas on their uniforms, so it's probably a visual indicator.
Scanning
there,
for
symbols. Which is why he had a problem with the talk show host. And had to figure out, is the talk show host a Nazi or not? And then ultimately he got verbal affirmation from the white supremacists that they were Nazis,
They revealed a swastika on the big screen behind at the meeting.
Also, the emotion of it, him going, uh-oh, Nazis. That was just such a funny line.
I agree. I thought that was cool because he seemed a little sad about it.
Yeah.
Because he liked the cats. How did you feel that G.I. Robot was puffing the fluff, Pete?
I mean, everybody puffs the fluff. You know, if you care enough, you know what I mean? So
if you care enough, you puff the fluff. Did you do that by accident?
I didn't write down the line. Not to swerve the conversation back on track here, but I did write down the exchange, but I feel like the key thing here, and we should probably talk about Dr. Magnus in a second, little Magnus, but he asks him what he desires, and he says to kill Nazis, and he says, no, if you had that, if that was taken away, what would you really want?
Hanging with his boys.
Yeah, someday I'd like to be reunited and see my boys, is what I believe what he says there.
And then he says, can kill Nazis with them.
And kill Nazis with them, but I think that's what he gets from Fitzgibbon later on, from Sam Fitzgibbon, is he finds briefly another purpose for himself, something that is away from killing Nazis. And then ultimately, though, he gets back to it, and that's the thing that he really actually brings him joy. I think
he's a Pokemon named murdering Nazis, essentially.
Well, let's talk about the Magnus thing, because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. He shows up in the talk show. He purchases or takes G.I. Robot and studies him to create his own automatons. Dr. Will Magnus is a character direct from DC Comics. He is there the creator of the Metal Men, and in fact, we get to see a blueprint of automatons with all the symbols of the Metal Men on there, which I thought was, again, similar to the Sergeant Rock thing. Very surprising to throw this in here and be like, hey, we're going to be doing the Metal Men somewhere, so stay tuned. Where do you think we're going to see the Metal Men next?
Maybe. What are you falling for all these Easter eggs suddenly? You're like a sucker for it. You're like, they're going to do it.
There was a whole moment. He was like, I'm going to make my own automatons. And there was like a dun, dun, dun. And
is this your first comic book show? Get out of here.
First time.
He's setting stuff up that they may or may never, ever come back to.
You don't think we're You don't think James Gunn, a person who loves the metal bed, is going to try to jam in the metal bed somewhere?
Yeah, our father. I mean, yes, maybe, but like what? As maybe as an animated series?
Who
I mean,
it's not going to be. By the way,
nice. He's not going to be.
I'm Jewish.
Whole thing. Yeah.
You think someone missed it the first time? You had to double down.
I'm just
on
doubling down. Why I don't get the whole our father. Who I didn't have a thing.
I'm
going to throw out a crazy theory at you that is 100% wrong, but here goes. The person who does the voice of Will Magnus is Alan Tiddick, who does the voice of Dr. Phosphorus as well, right? And I won't spoil it if people don't know, but he's going to be doing another voice later on in the show that's already been revealed. He talked about it in interviews. You can look it up if you want. We also know that he is playing a role, Alan Tiddick, live action in Superman coming out next summer. And they've already said it wasn't Dr. Phosphorus, but they won't tell us what Eldis it is. I think there's a slight possibility that he is playing Dr. William Magnus in Superman, either in a flashback or old age makeup or something like that. And I think we might see the Metal Men there, honestly.
Pure speculation
based on this episode. And yes, it is my first time watching a comic book show. I mean,
wow. It does, you have big Mephisto is coming in energy. I mean, I don't know if Dr. Will Magnus, if I'm Alan Tudyk and he's playing all these other roles, it doesn't feel like a win role. Like, what's that going to be? That's not a main character.
How dare you?
He's not a villain in the Superman movie.
Every character he plays is a main role.
No, but I could see, like, he's already doing Dr. Phosphorus. He's doing this other mysterious role I keep hinting at. But I think, like, if he's doing it as a favor for an unannounced role where he shows up and he's like, sure, I'll do a day as Will Magnus on the set of Superman. Why not?
He can't play multiple roles in live action.
Right, but Dr. Phosphorus is a character they could do in live action, but his face is going to be hidden. The other role, again, that I'm jumping around, his face is going to be hidden. You're not going to see it. Will Wagnus is a character where you will see his face. I bet everything.
I put the odds on this as very tiny, but shouts to your theory. I know the Will Magnus hive is out there going crazy for this, so they're going to be backing you all the way.
Can I mention one more Easter egg that is not a crazy conspiracy theory, but Michael Rooker, who we all know is the Rook, right?
The Rook.
His character is named Sam Fitzgibbon, and there have been two other Fitzgibbons in the DCU so far. Lachlan Monroe, who we know as Hal Cooper from Riverdale, his character on Peacemaker Season 1 was named Larry Fitzgibbon, and John Ostrander, one of the creators of Suicide Squad, really well known for writing it, played the character of Dr. Fitzgibbon in The Suicide Squad, who was taking care of the prisoners in Belle Reve. Turns out that Fitzgibbon is the last name that James Gunn puts in all of his projects because one of his best friends is a guy named Larry Fitzgibbon. There you go. I thought that was a cute little tribute to his friend by making his friend a character who is a white supremacist.
I call him Uncle Larry.
You know what I think is weird is that on an episode about Nazis, you keep bringing up the fact that you're Jewish, almost like you're trying us not to think that you're a Nazi when maybe you are.
Mm. Oh, wow. I didn't know. Oh, that's... Pete. I don't think I'm the one that suffered from that particular Easter eggification of my religion, but...
Wait, are you calling your religion an Easter egg? You have an Easter egg
my
on the brain.
My religion is an
guy.
Easter egg for my character as a person.
It's not a very well buried Easter egg. Let me say that. Yeah. I wanted to shout out.
Let's just do that going forward. Whenever we reveal anything about our backgrounds, that's an Easter egg for
that's
our
an
lives.
Easter egg. Yep. Yeah.
The term Easter egg is overused, and we're a prime example of it. G.I. Robot drinks gas. That's fun. Don't try that at home.
Yep.
The other thing, we get a big needle drop in this episode, Coin Operated Boy by the Dresden Dolls.
Love it.
This show really forefronts their needle drops in a way that it's almost like the music's first and the action is behind it, which I think is interesting.
It's fun. A little definitely... Umbrella Academy, I would have to say, which I've railed on for playing the entire song. But frankly, I think the show does a better job.
Well, the songs are way less obvious. Umbrella Academy was like, hey, we're going to play Paint It Black. It's like, oh, sick.
When we're painting a black thing. There we go. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the end of the episode and theories, because as I mentioned, Cersei gets her face ripped apart by Weasel. She gets barbecued. Really? Oof. Barbecued by Dr. Phosphorus. We get the bride quipping, you wanted monsters, you got monsters. And then at the end, Cersei says, you don't understand what you've done in terms of stopping her from killing Princess Alana. You've doomed the world. What do you think she's hinting at?
Princess Alana, evil definitely. Princess, not a good princess.
We can have some more reveals. I mean, she's been shown in this episode, especially, I think, as someone that isn't evil. She's just trying to fight for her life. She seems very cool in this episode. I think before, in the previous two episodes, it felt like, what's she up to? This one felt like very directly, she's just fighting for her life, seems forthright about it. So there must be something that happens in the future, I think, with her that Cersei is trying to stop. Prophecy, perhaps.
I mean, it was fun, the kind of uses that, like, the YouTuber guy as one of the bad guy Nazis. And, you know, I think she did a great job getting away, too. That scratch move was badass. But I also love the shish kebab moment. That was also hilarious.
What are you referring to?
He yelled shish kebab as punches through somebody. It was pretty funny.
One note, since we're just jumping around and mentioning things that I liked. I know I said this before, but I didn't pick up on that the sons of Thibisgira are soft. That's what it says on their hats. And I think points to something that I was talking about with the first two episodes that really drives home in this episode as well, is James Gunn is really like, really coming for the Proud Boys who are like, yeah, we're really manly, and they're absolutely not in this series. He is shish kebabbing, to use your term, Pete, toxic masculinity in a very, very big way in the show, at least in the first three episodes, which I think is interesting. It's interesting to have a show that is actually saying something. Too often when we talk about these comic book based shows, the thing they're saying is good triumphs over evil, period. And that's
which is a nice thing to say.
Which is a nice thing to say. I agree. You're not really turning it around from the I love Nazis you said earlier on, Pete.
Did not say
that. I could play back the tape. The fact that they're taking a different thematic level that is very present to the world outside of our door and the way things are happening right now, that's very laudable. I'm glad to see it.
I agree. It's very cool. I just think Nazis are a too hot button of an issue on this podcast, so I hope to not see as many Nazis next episode.
That's why they call them that, actually, because you do not want to see them.
Yeah. Pete's reaction.
I never thought about that. Any other notes for the episode you guys want to talk about? Anything else jump out at you before?
You guys said that it was a middling episode, but a lot, as we discussed, went down in this episode. So I'm happy with all that's happening, and I still think this is a blast of a show.
What do you think about him, G.I. Robot, being convicted of murder as a robot?
I mean, that's the DC universe, baby.
They slide over that pretty quickly from a understanding what's happening perspective.
Well, what did you think? We did talk about, what did you think about him dying at the end of the episode?
I don't think he's dead. Yeah, he's going to come back.
Well, I don't know. James Gunn at New York Comic Con very specifically said they want to make deaths count in this universe and said
that. Yeah, but don't start with G.I. Robot.
No, I know. But he said characters do die and stay dead in this show. So I don't know. Obviously there's a lot of ways out if they want to reverse it, but I kind of feel like at least for this season, this is them saying like, hey, these characters are actually expendable. They are going to go. That's it for G.I. Robot, at least for the moment.
I mean, maybe. I think that would be good. A good choice.
It was sweet the way he kind of went out and was like, what a day we had. We got to kill Nazis together. Nothing's better than that.
What a way to die happy.
Yeah. And what a way to end an
episode. Die doing what you love.
If you and I, as well, I'm going to die doing what I love, which is this podcast. If you'd like to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We also do a live show.
That's what we're all open for.
All three of us go out together. Electric lightning strike. Triple lightning strike.
Wow. In three locations. Pretty weird. Never happened before.
Tracks.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah, real mix up at the podcast factory, I would say. If you would like to support this, as I said, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out.
Sure,
we'd love to chat with you about the DCU. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Instagram, and Threads, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, Dad, do you want to kill Nazis?
Oh, that's
with us?
Fingers crossed for the Dr. Magnus 4-part series coming soon to Alex's fever dream.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.